Today, Shir's a Masech Teshuas on Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, at the beginning of the line where the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Ushekneg Doi Choshed. And this is referring to the Mishnah Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where the Mishnah states, Shekneg Doi Choshed Al Shvuah. This is another example where we flip the Shvuah from the one who's supposed to make the Shvuah and we give it to the other party. So if the nitva, the one who we're trying to collect the money from, let's say he's motive b'mixas, he's chayav shvuah, but he is a chashud. A chashud means that he has previously sworn false. And therefore, we suspect that if we're going to give him now the shvuah of motive b'mixas, he will swear false again. So then we flip it over to the person who's being toveya the money from him. And the Mishnah stated that Ketzad, what's an example of this? Acha Shvus Eidus, it doesn't matter whether this person has previously sworn false concerning Shvus Eidus, which means that someone had asked him to testify on his behalf, and he swore under oath that he has no knowledge on this matter, and then he admitted that he lied, or Eidim came, we found out that he was lying. That's a case of Shvus Eidus. Va'achas continues the Mishnah Shvus HaPikadon. If a shomer, for example, lost something through negligence and he swears that he was not negligent, or he says something was stolen and in fact he is the person who stole it, he says, I don't have it anymore, someone came and stole it, or I lost it and really it's not lost, he has it in his house. So this is a case where he swore false concerning the Pikadon. And then the Mishnah concludes, Va'afilu shvua shav. And even if he made a shvua shav, as we had previously in the Mishnah on Daf Chav Tesa Medalev, what's an example of shvua shav? Nishba l'shanes es hayadu l'adam. Omar ala omet shal evin shehu shal zav. He says a pillar made out of stone. He says, no, it's made out of gold. Everyone can see it's made out of stone. That's considered a shvua shav, a shvua that was done in vain. So in any of these situations, shvua se'edus, shvua se'apikadon, shvua shav, we flip the shvua to the other party because he is suspected that he will swear false again. The Gemara now focuses on what the Mishnah said, va'afilu shvua shav. Says the Gemara, ma'afilu shvua shav. There seems to be a chiddush in shvua shav. What's the chiddush in shvua shav? That if he swore false concerning a amud of evan shehu shal zov, or the Mishnah gave an example, he swore that a man is a woman or a woman is a man. So he obviously made a shvua sheker. That also, if now he's a moida b'mixas and he should swear in this monetary matter, we say that we flip it over. What's the chiddush in shvua shav? Why not? If he swore false, why is that different than shvus ha'edus? Why would I think it's different than shvus ha'pikadon or shvus ha'edus? So the Gemara answers, loy mi boy karma. You have to understand the Mishnah as a loy mi boy. In other words, loy mi boy, it's certain hanach, these cases, meaning shvus ha'edus and shvus ha'pikadon, that if he lied, if he swore falsely in those cases, so hanach, the isbu kviris moment. There, as Rashi explains, he was ra l'shamayim and ra l'brius. He wasn't concerned about the swearing falsely, and he didn't care about causing his friend a loss of money. For example, in the case of Shvuas HaPikadon, he stole it, actually, and he says that somebody else stole it. So he was trying to free himself from a financial obligation by swearing falsely. And even in the case of Shvuas HaEidus, where he swears false that I don't know any testimony on your behalf, and really he does, so also he's causing his friend to lose money, because if he would testify what he knows, which actually the Torah obligates a person, if you know testimony to help your friend, you're mechuyev to testify. So he swears falsely, I know nothing. He doesn't care about the chaymer of shvua. He doesn't care about the loss to his friend. He doesn't care that the Torah itself is obligating him to render testimony if he knows it. So in all of these two cases, in both of these two cases, there's a kfiris moment. So then I will say, if he's a moida b'mixis and he's chayav a shvua, I'll flip it because I'm worried that he doesn't care. However, I would think that maybe in the case of Shua Shav, there I don't see that he doesn't take his friend into consideration. Because there it's only a lie. He says this person is a man and we know this person is a woman. So that's a Shua Shav. He's only doing something against Hashem. He's not doing a monetary issue against his fellow man. So I would think that when he's confronted with swearing false, concerning a monetary issue where it will hurt his friend, maybe they'll take it more seriously. And maybe I should believe him. I shouldn't flip it. So we say, no, the chiddush is that even there you flip it. Even in the case of Shavu Shav, Nami, the Kfir's Dvorm Baalmu, it's only, as Rashi explains, Ra'la Shamayim. It's not Ra'la Brias. Maybe I should trust them with the Moed B'Mikshah Shua and not flip it. So we say, no, that Loi Mehema, and that's why the Mishnah said, Afil Shua Shav, even by Shua Shav, he's not trustworthy, and by Moed B'Mikshah, by the monetary Shua, we'll also flip it over to the Kenegdai. As the Gemara of a listening, Nami Shua's Bitui, there's actually a fourth type of Shua that the Mishnah didn't mention. A Shua of utterance. In other words, we've learned before the Masechta, Oichel or Loi Oichel. I will eat something tomorrow, and tomorrow turns out that he didn't eat it. I won't eat this piece of cake tomorrow, and tomorrow he goes off his diet and he does eat the piece of cake. So if he was Oiver on his Shua's Bitui, that also, we should flip the Shua, if in a past instance we know he transgressed the Shua's Bitui, the Mishnah should have said that this will also be a case where we'll flip it, and yet the Mishnah doesn't mention Shua's Bitui. So you get more answers. Kiktani, which Shua did the Mishnah count? That's only Shua dechi kamishtaba, b'shikra kamishtaba. That's only a Shua when he says the Shua, he said it falsely. For example, I don't know any testimony about you, and really he does know. I don't have the pekudin, and really he has the pekudin. Or this person is a man, and really the person is a woman. As while he's saying the shvua, he's uttering a sheker. But avo shvuz bitui, the ikula merida bekushta kamishtaba. Now Rashi says we're focusing on a shvuz bitui de lahabo. In other words, I will eat it. So it could be that when he said the shvuz of labo, he really didn't want to eat this piece of cake. Lo yoichel, I want to stick to my diet, and I don't want to eat the piece of cake. Tomorrow he saw the delicious piece of cake, and Rashi says, so Yitzray, the last line in Rashi, shekafo Yitzray. His Yitzhar got a hold of him, and he succumbed to his Yetzirah, and he ate the piece of cake. But when he said it originally, he really thought that he's going to hold his Shavua. And that's why, for example, we have a question now. Will he say Sheker by Moed B'Mikshah? It could be that type of person, he's not going to lie. It's only that he wasn't able to control his Yetzirah, and he went off his diet. But here, when he's saying it, he means it. He really means it. Maybe this is like Tani, so this is, we're not mentioning. Now here we have a very big machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos, and really it's a machloikis between the Rambam and Rav Haigoin, the Ramban and the Rashba, a whole slew of Rishonim. So let's start with Tosfos. Tosfos in the bottom Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, the second line of the bottom Tosfos says, on the second line, Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam depuselhu. Vahacha loikamer ala deloiktani pirish deloikamiri bimidi debekushta mishtaba. So Rabbeinu Tam Shita is that what the Gemara is saying over here is not that shvuas bitui, if you were over on a shvuas bitui delahabo, that you will be able to say the shvua. We won't flip it. No. You're also going to be puzzled. You asked me Akasha. Why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah? The answer is the Mishnah was only speaking about cases where he already, while he's saying the Shavua, we see that he's lying. However, the Mishnah is not speaking about a case where he said, I'm not going to eat a piece of cake, and then he ate it. That's a future thing. That the Mishnah is not speaking about. But what, in fact, is the din? So Rabbeinu Tam learns the din is that he was over on a Shavua's Bitui, he will talk be posel for the Shavua of Moed B'Mikshah, and we will flip it. That sheet is Hatoisis. And so we find in the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, of Hilchas Toyim V'Nitin says, V'zeh L'Shaynai, Echor HaNishba L'Sheker Shavua's Bitui. In fact, the Rambam takes Shavuos Bittu, maybe because it's a Chiddush, because we're going to see that Rashi and the other Rishonim disagree. The Rambam says the first thing, if a person was over a Shavuos Sheker of Bittui, and he doesn't Mechalik Ovar Osid, Oi Shavuos Eidus, Oi Shavuos Apikodin, Oi Shavuos Shav, Harehu Choshed Al HaShavuah, he's a Choshed HaShavuah, and Memele, he's not allowed to swear, and then Shekenegdoi Nishba V'Noitel. And the Magid Mishnah says that what's the reasoning of the Rambam? Because the Rambam held, the Mishnah told us, that a Mesachik Bekuvya, we're going to learn about that on the next Amud, a Mesachik Bekuvya is somebody who plays dice. He gambles. So he is he's not allowed to make a Shavua. So the Rambam said that if somebody's over on a Shavua's Bitu, the Raisa, Mesachik Bekuvya is only a Gazlam Mid Rabbonin. If that, you tell me, is not allowed to swear, so certainly somebody who's over on a Shavuos Bitui is certainly not allowed to swear. So that's the sheet of the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam and Rav Hai Goin. However, if you look at the last Rashi on the Amud, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says emphatically, not that the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah is not talking about Shavuos Bitui, but really Shavuos Bitui also, you flip it. No, Rashi says, Shavuos Bitui de la Bo, ki mishtaba ikal meimer bekush de shtaba shabadat le kaima va fil over ala shakafa yitzray ein a khash be kachal shvush over lo hayti le shaker mi piv. So Rashi does it, makes it that this is the rule. And like Rashi, the same holds the Ramban and the Rajba. They all go there. When the Gemara is saying over here this halacha, the Gemara is saying it as a matter of fact. That what? That the only time we flip it is only when he made a lie. While he was saying it, we found out that he's lying. I don't know any testimony about you. When he does, don't have the pekodin. When he had the pekodin, she's a man, and really know she's a woman. While he's saying the shvua, there's a sheker. But on a future event, I plan to do it, and I don't want to eat the cake. And then he succumbed because of his yetzer, and he ate it. So that the Mishnah's not talking. Why? Because in fact, there he will be trustworthy. Not to lie. On a moed b'mikzas, we will not flip it, and we will let him swear. That's the sheet of these rishonim. So we have here a major machloikis or rishonim. Continues the Gemara. We're up to the second last line of the Amud. Tinach oich v'loichel. You've explained to me lahabo. I will eat or I won't eat. That the Mishnah is not speaking about it, and each of the rishonim according to their pshat in the Gemara. But what about a chalti v'loichalti? That's in the past. I didn't eat, he said I ate, and really he didn't eat. Or I didn't eat yesterday, and really he did eat. So, Ma'ikla Meimar, this is a case of Shavuos Bitui, where he's also, while he's saying it, he's saying a lie. And Ma'ikla Meimar, why isn't that mentioned in their Mishnah? The Gemara answers, you're right, that of course we would flip. He's not Neman in the case of Moed B'Mikzas, we would flip it. But Tana Shavua Shav, as we turn to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, V'chol D'Domile, as Rashi says, Kol Shavua L'Shavar. The Tana held that that's already included. That in Shavua Shav, I already included Shavua's Bitu L'Shavar. So, and therefore he didn't mention as a separate category. Continues the Gemara with the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Am Mem Hei Amud Aleph, Hoya Echad Mem Misach B'Kuvya. And let's see the lashon of the Mishnah. If someone was a Mesachik Bekuvya, this is on the second line of the Amud Amem Hei Amud Aleph, Hoyech Mesachik Bekuvya, he was a dice player. He was gambling. Or Malva Beribis, he lent money in Ribis. Umafriche Yoinim, or he used to have these races which he bet on with the doves. V'soichre Shriyas, or he did business with Shriyas. The halacha is that he is not allowed to make a shvua. So the din is shekenegdai nishba v'noit. We give the shvua on the other party, and the other party, the teveya, swears and he collects. Ask the Gemara, hasu lamali, why do I need this case as well? So in order to understand this question, let's look for a second at that same Rambam. The Rambam continues. We already referred to the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, Hilchas Toin V'Nitin, that the Rambam spoke that anybody who's Choshed Al HaShavuah, he swore false, so he's not allowed to make another Shavuah. Then the Rambam says, V'chein Kol Posul Eidus, Whoever is postulatus, bein be paslon shotayra, kagoin, bali ribis, vaychlin, avelis, was gazlotin, bein paslonusa shel divrayim, kagoin, mesacha bekuvi mafricha yoidim, harehu choshed ala shvua, vein mashbiyin oisai. So the Rambam says that not only is someone who swore false, a choshed, not allowed to swear again, but if you're postulatus, you're not allowed to swear again. And it's interesting, where's the makor of the Rambam? The Magen Mishnah says the makor is our Mishnah. Because we all know that a Mesachi Kuvia, we learned the Mesach the Sanhedrin, a Mesachi Kuvia, Mafrichi Yoinim, these are all Postal Eidus. And our Mishnah takes that same listing and says that they are also Choshed Al HaShvua, and you go to Shekinegdai. So from here the Rambam learned an equation that whoever is Postal Eidus is likewise not allowed to swear. So what the Gemara is asking here is, Hasu Lomeli, why do I need the last phrase? What's the last phrase? Shekinegdai Nishba V'Naitel. In other words, once I've established that a Mafriche Yoinim, or a Malva Beribis, any of these who did these kind of Averis, are usher to swear, why? Because they're postulatus, and we make the equation. So then the next halacha, which is shekenegda nishba v'naitel, that I already know. Because you told me in the beginning of the Mishnah, if somebody is choshed ala shvua, shekenegda nishba v'naitel, now you're telling me that if he's postulatus, he's also a choshed ala shvua, so then I know what's the din by a choshed ala shvua. Choshed ala shvua, shekenegda nishba v'naitel. Why do we have to repeat in the Mishnah, shekenegda nishba v'naitel on this case? I mean, maybe you'll tell me we have a chiddush, the linkage of the Rambam, which the Rambam's makor is our Mishnah, that itself is a chiddush. That whoever is posel la'edus is not allowed to swear. That I'll grant you. But what the Gemara is asking us, Sulamali, is why did you have to tell me? You want to tell me a chiddush? Tell me this in Sanhedrin. Whoever is possible, latest is also possible, Shua. But our Mishnah is dealing with the principle that if you're a Choshed Al HaShvua, we flip it, so that I already learned in the beginning of the Mishnah. Why do you have to repeat it by Malvi Beribis or Mesacha Bekuvia? That's the Gemara's kasha. Hasu Lomeli answers the Gemara, Tana Psula Daraisa Uktani Psula Darabonan. So the simple way to learn this answer of the Gemara is according to the Levush. The Levush says that a person who's choshed al hashvua is osur min haTorah to make another shvua. If we know that he's transgressed a shvua in the past, midaraisa he's not allowed to make a shvua like an Ari Mishnah of Maida B'Mitzvah. We have to give it to the Shekinegdai. So what the Gemara is saying is, you asked me a kasha, why do we have to repeat the halacha? Shekinegda nishba v'naitel. My answer is, not only do you say shekinegda nishba v'naitel where you were not allowed to swear midaraisa, but even b'mesachet bekovya and malva beribis. Malva beribis is also considered a gun of midarabonet. He's doing an iser deraisa of ribis, but he's as far as ganav is concerned, he's a ganav midarabonet. So now I'm telling you, not only someone who's posel la'edus and not allowed to swear midaraisa, but even if it's midarabonin, also we flip it. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. However, the sheet of Tosis and Bava Kamma on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph is that hachoshed al hashvua, that halacha, that we don't let him swear if we've already found that he has lied under oath. We don't let him swear again. That whole psul is only a din derabbanan. So how does he learn this Gemara? The Gemara here seems to be saying that why do we repeat the halacha twice? Because first I told you deraisa, then I told you derabbanan, like Mesacha Bekovia. How will Tosis learn our Gemara here? So we have to say, Tosis says, the psul to swear is derabbanan, but the psul to say edus, that is a din deraisa. That's what the Gemara is saying. First, I told you someone who swears false, he swears false under oath, so that person is not allowed to testify midaraisa. And midarabonan, he's not allowed to swear again. So when the Gemara says Tana Psula Daraisa, it's not going someone who's Pasul Midaraisa to swear, because Taisa Sheet is a Chashid, is not allowed to swear only Midarabbanan, but someone who testifies, who's Pasul Le'edus Midaraisa. So first I told you that category. Now I'm going to Mesacha Bekuvia, where Mesacha Bekuvia, the whole Psul is on Midarabbanan. Why, in fact, is Mesacha Bekuvia only Midarabbanan? So Rashi over here says, on the first line of Rashi, Gazlan derabbananu, damrina smachtu loikanya, avu midaraisa lav gazlan. Midaraisa is not a gazlan. He could testify, he could swear, there's no psul. But the rabbanan made him into a gazlan. Why? We know what is a mesach bekuvia, that he is relying that he's gonna win. If he would know that he would lose this poker game, he wouldn't play. But he thinks he's gonna win. So the rabbanan said, in order for you to give money to somebody else, you have to have das, I want to give this money to somebody else. But you playing this game, you really don't want to give the money to him. You all are only getting involved in this venture because you think that you're going to get the money. So Mimela, since you're not giving up the money 100% willingly, the Rabbanan looked at you as if you are a ganav, and therefore, your pasul edis, your pasul shvua, but this is only midrabbanan. So according to Taisa Bava Kama Daf Kuf Ches, what the Gemara here is saying is, first I listed to you someone who's pasul midrabbanan for shvua, but he's pasul midaraisa for edis. Who is that? Someone who swore false. And then I'm listing to you someone who's totally midrabbanan. Pasul shvua midrabbanan, pasul Eidus Midrabbanan, and that is the case of Mesache Bekuvia and the other cases of our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, explaining the next part of the Mishnah. Ha Yushneim Cheshudim. If both were Chashid, so what do we have in the Mishnah? We have two Shitas, which are listed as Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi holds Chazra Shvul Makayma. The Shvul goes back to his place, and we're going to now see a Machloik is what these words mean, Chazra Shvul Makayma. And Rabbi Meir Aymer Yachloiku. In other words, if somebody was made of a mixer, so he's chayv a shvua. So what's the halacha if he's a chashid? We flip it to the other party. What happens if the other party is a chashid al shvua? We know that he in the past has also sworn falsely. So what do we do now? So the din is chashid al shvua mekayma. That's one shita. The other shita is yachloiku. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. Rav says to Rav Nachman, Hei Chitnan, as Rashi explains, what's the correct girsa in the Mishnah? We have it that Rabbi Yossi says Chazal Shvula Mekayma, and Rabbi Meir says Yechlaiku. Maybe it's just the opposite. Apparently there was some confusion of who said what. Amalei Lo Yadana. Rav Nachman said, I really don't know what the right answer is. Hilchas Amai, he asked him, what's the halacha? What are we paskin? Do we say Yechlaiku? Do we say Chazal Shvula Mekayma, whatever that means, as we'll see in the next piece of the Gemara? Amalei Lo Yadana, I don't know what the Psak halacha is either. But then, as Taisus here on the top, Taisus explains, Rav Nachman did research, and he found out that, in fact, the girsa of our mission is incorrect. The one who said Chazal Shvula Mekayma is Rav Meir. And it was Rabbi Yossi who said Yachloiku. And when Rabbi Nachman found out that it was Rabbi Yossi who said Yachloiku, in fact, Rabbi Nachman paskin the halacha a case like Rabbi Yossi that Yachloiku, when they both were chashed and they couldn't swear. Itmar, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, the same Rabbi Nachman who just said Lo Yadana, now he found out that Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloiku. It's Rabbi Yossi who said Yachloiku and not Rabbi Meir. V'chein Tani Rabbi Zvid Bar Oishia, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloiku. Ikid Yamri, some say Tani Rabbi Zvid, not Bar Oishia, but Rabbi Zvid said it in the name. Omer Rabbi Oishia, in the name of Rabbi Oishia, that Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloiku. Omer Rabbi Yossi Bar Menyumi, Ovid Rabbi Nachman, Uvde Yachloiku, that Rav Nachman, after, as Tosis explains the top Tosis, that he did research, he found out it was really Rabbi Yossi, and then he paskin halacha l'maaseh in such a case, Yachloiku. Now the Gemara is going to focus on what comes out is not really the halacha of Chazra Shvul Mekayma, which according to the correct girsa, the way we just learned, is not like we have it in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said it, but Rav Meir is the one who said it, and apparently Rav Nachman held the halacha is not like Rav Meir here, the halacha is Yachloiku. But now the Gemara wants to know, what is the sheet of Rav Meir of Chazra Shvul Mekayma? Lahechen Chazra, where does it go back? What's the place that it goes back to? Omer, Rav Ami, said Rav Ami, Rabbi Seinu Shebib Bavel, Omru Chazra Shvul Sinai. The Shvul goes back to Sinai. First of all, we have to know who the Rebbe Sanhedrin of Bavel is. We'll see in the next Gemara who they are. But what does it mean, Chazon Shul HaSinai? Explains Rashi that you're supposed to swear. You're not able to swear you're a chashid. So it's flipped over to the other party. The other party is a chashid also. Bounces back to you. And you can't swear. So the din is, if you can't swear, we leave it up in the hands of Hashem. Beis Din says, there's no shvuah possible, but we don't penalize you just because you can't swear. Therefore, you should have to pay, and we don't proceed further. Hashem knows who's saying the truth, and he will punish the person who is, if he's lying. If the person who's might have been mixed is lying, and really he owes the entire amount, not just half, but he doesn't want to admit it, so Hashem will take care of him. Beis Din doesn't do anything. That's the shita of the Rebbe Sanhedrin of Bavel. Rebbe Sanhedrin of Eretz Yisrael Amru, Chazra Shvua L'Mechuyivla, which means the Shvua bounces back to the original person who was might have been mikzas, and he has to swear, but he can't swear. So you know what the din is? As we're going to learn further, you're not able to swear, pay. So it comes out that we have a big machloikis here between Rabbi Sanhedrin and Bavel and our rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Sanhedrin and Bavel, he does not have to pay. According to Rabbi Sanhedrin and Eretz Yisrael, he does have to pay. And we paskin Rabbi Nachman Lalacha that yachloiku. Okay. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, I'm going to reveal to you who the Rabbi Sanhedrin and Bavel are. They are Rav Ushmuel. In fact, if we remember, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Yud Zayin Amud Beis, has a law at the end, I think it's at the end of the first parak, has a long list of phrases in the Gemara when the, for example, Rabbi Sanhedrin and Bavel, who are they? So the Gemara says over there, it's Rav Ushmuel. Rabbi Sanhedrin and Eretz Yisrael, as our Gemara tells us, that's Rav Abba. And the Gemara there in Sanhedrin has different phrases like this, and it identifies who these people are with these titles. So now the Gemara is going to prove that Rav Ushmuel hold that when you have this situation where we can't swear, that he does not have to pay. The Nitva does not have to pay to the Tovea. Where do we see it? From the following Mishnah. And this Mishnah was learnt, as Rashi points out, earlier in the Perek on Daf Memhei Amud Aleph. Rav Sanhedrin Rav Rav Ushmuel, this time we learnt in our Mishnah. If the Yisoymen want to get paid from person X, we'll soon see who person X is, they can only get it if they, the Yisoymen, swear. We know halacha, if you want to collect from the Yisoymen, you have to swear. But there's also halacha that if the Yisoymen want to collect from someone, it has to be with a shvua. Vavin and Bamiman. So we had a shiloh. Who is this person X? Who are the Yisoymen collecting from? If it's a regular case, they're collecting from a loive. So it comes out like this. They have a shtar. They found a shtar in their father's papers that Reuven owes their father Shimon money. And they have the shtar. So he never paid it. That's why the father left over the shtar. So what are you telling me? That they can only collect with a shvua. Doesn't make sense. Why? If the father was alive and he had a shtar, he could go over to Reuven and say, here's a shtar, you owe me money. And then he would be able to collect without a shvua. So avu and shaku b'loy shvua v'inu b'shvua. The father would collect without a shvua and they have to swear. We make it harder for the Yisoymim than from their father. That's not logical. Ella hachikamer. This is the pshat in the Mishnah. V'chein ha-Yisoymim min ha-Yisoymim. If the malva died and the loiva died, and they both left over Yisoymim. And the Malva's Yisoymim comes over to the Loiva's Yisoymim and says, please pay up the chayv that your father borrowed from our father. Lo yifru ela b'shvua, they have to swear. And the Mishnah told us, what is the shvua? They have to say, shaloi pokadnu abba. Our father didn't tell us b'shas misa that it was paid up. V'loi omar lanu abba, and he never during his lifetime told us that this loan was paid up. And also, shalai matzinu ben shtarois of shal abba shestar separu. We never found a receipt that this shtar was paid up. So according to the best of our knowledge, it was never paid up. The Yisoymim, as the Gemara is going to soon point out, they don't have the advantage of the father to say categorically that it was never paid up. They don't know. But based on this evidence that they have, a shtar without a receipt, and their father never told them otherwise, so they say, we think that this was not paid up, and therefore please pay us up, and we will swear that our father never told us that it was paid up. So, v'ravu Shmuel de Amri Tavar, Rav and Shmuel both said on this halacha, once we've established it's Yisayimim from the Yisayimim, Loishanu, when is that halacha El Shemes Malva? B'chai Loiva. Who died first? The Malva died first. And then the Loiva died. Avo Meis Loiva B'chai Malva. But if the Loiva died in the lifetime of the Malva, Kfar Nischayev Malva Libnei Loiva Shvua. The Malva was already chayv to the children of the Loiva Shvua. V'ein Adam Mayrish Shvua Labanov. And a person cannot be Mayrish a Shvua to his children. As Rashi explains, when the Malva died first, so there was no Chiv Shvua yet, so then the Yisayimim just have to swear that our father never told us that it was paid, and then they collect from the other Yisayimim. But if the Loiva died first, and the Malva was still alive when the Loiva died, so then the Malva, we learned that a Malva can only collect from Yisayimim with a Shvua. Now, what is that Shvua? That Shvua is a much stronger Shvua than the Yisua of the Yisayimim. That Shvua is that the father, the Malva, says categorically, I have not been paid, because you know whether you were paid or not. The children can only say, to the best of our knowledge, our father never told us that it was paid. We have a shtar without a receipt, so we imagine it was not paid. But the Malva himself has a much stronger shvua. The Malva shvua is, to the Yisayimim of the Loiva, your father, I categorically swear, he never paid me. You have to pay me. Now, says Rashi, that shvua cannot, when it says over here, ein adam mayrish shvua labanav, Rashi puts some words in, ein adam mayrish labanav mamayn shu mechuyiv alav shvua. If I am mechuyiv to make this unbelievable shvua, categorically I swear that I never got paid up, that is, and based on that shvua, I'm going to collect the money from the Yisayimim, but my children can't make that shvua. How can they don't know, a Yosef doesn't know the asakim of his father, clearly. So they can only make a shvua that our father never told us it was paid up. And based on that, we give it to the Yisayimim. So once the Loiva died, b'chaye malva, at that point the malva was chayv, what kind of shvua? The top shvua that categorically your father of the Loiva. The Loiva, the father of the Yisayimim, he never paid me, and that's why I want to collect with the shtar. That's a shvua that he cannot give over to his children, because his children don't have that knowledge. So memela, once the shvua was chal, and the malva then subsequently dies, and now his children can't make that shvua, so memela, if he can't make that shvua, the Yisayimim of the Loiva don't have to pay. So this is the Rabbeinu Shebebavel, is Ravu Shmuel. Here we have it. So we just proved, who's proving this? Rapapa. Amar Rapapa, Rabbeinu Shebebavel, you know who it is? Ravu Shmuel, from this halacha. Because what is Ravu Shmuel saying? Ravu Shmuel saying is when you have a shvua, and that shvua is chal, and you can't make that shvua for whatever reason, then the din is you cannot collect. So that's Lahechan Chazra. Where does the Shvua go back? The Shvua goes back to Sinai, which means that Bezdin has no power to make him swear, because he can't swear, and he has no power to collect the money. Now, who is the Rabbi Sanhedrin Sheva Eretz Yisrael? That is Rab Abba. This is Rab Abba. Rab Abba holds the opposite. Rab Abba holds where you can't swear, the one who should have paid has to pay. And this, which Rababa is this? This is the famous Rababa. Naskid the Rababa. We had it in Bava Basra. Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. And Lamed Dalet Lamed Alf. I had the schus to say that daf, substituting for Rab Elephant at that time. And there we learned it with a lot of Ian. Here we're just going to go through the basic shot to prove that the Rabbi Sanu Shabbat Yisrael is this Rababa, who holds that when a shvua can't be made, then you have to pay. We don't say it goes back to Sinai and Bezdin does nothing. No, if the person can't swear, he has to pay. There was a person who grabbed a silver ingot from his friend. Also, he came in front of Ravami. Rav Abba was sitting over there when this Torah came. So the person who it was grabbed away from brought one witness, the Michtav Chatfamine, that it was grabbed away from him. Omar Lay, so the person who grabbed it said, yes, I agree with you. Chatvi, I grabbed it. But Vididi Chatvi, I grabbed it from you because it was really mine. Omar Rabami, so Rabami said, how will judges adjudicate this Din Torah? What are they going to paskin? I'm at a quandary. I don't know what to do. Why? On the one hand, let's see all my options. Name Lay Zil Shlim, if I'm going to tell him, go pay. As Rashi says, and the Rashbam and Bava Basra explains, we have a chazaka that kol ma'ashatachas yad adam shalayu. If I have something, it's mine. You're coming over to me and saying, I grab it from you and you're telling me it's yours? I have a chazaka. If I'm holding on to it, it's mine. So the normal thing Bezin should say, give it back. It's not yours. But, like a trey sadi, there are no two witnesses that he grabbed. How many witnesses are there? One. So Rashi explains, so he has a migui, if he was a lawyer, he could have said, I never grabbed it. You have aid, but you only have one aid, you don't have two aid. So I have a migui. You're gonna say niftarei based on that migui. Maybe my option is to say, let him keep it because of the migui. Wait a second. Ikachat sadu. There is one witness. And therefore, as Rashi explains, his migui is not such a good migui. Why? Because maybe he'll be afraid to lie. You're telling me if he's a liar, he would say, I never grabbed it. But the aid says he did grab it. So an aid echad has an ability to be mechayev shvua. Not everybody wants to swear with a sefer Torah. They're afraid of that. So maybe my migui to say that I never grabbed it, which is exactly contradicting the Eid Echad, who will be Mechayev Miyashvua, that will stop me from saying I never grabbed it, so I don't have a migui. So I can't, on the one hand, I can't give it to him either. Name Alei Zilishtaba, so what should I tell him? Swear. And Rashi explains, what Shvua could I tell him to swear? The Eid Echad says you grabbed it, so he could swear I didn't grab it. But he can't swear I didn't grab it because Kivin Da'amar Michtav Chatvi Havaleke Gazlan. You yourself admitted that you did grab it. So according to your own words, you're a stealer. The only way I could explain your words is if you say that you grabbed your own. But to say against the aid I never grabbed it when you yourself admitted you did grab it, so we consider you like a gazlan, and therefore you have no right. Rashi says the only other thing is he could swear that I swear it's mine. But Rashi says there is no such shvua. The only shvua that the Torah is mechayev a person based on an aid echad is to contradict through a shvua what the aid is saying. What is the aid saying here? You didn't grab. The only way to make a shvua is against the aid. The aid is saying you did grab. The only way to go against the aid is to swear that you didn't grab. And that you're not able to because you yourself said you grabbed it. Amarle Rav Abba. So Rav Ami didn't know what to do. But Rav Abba said, no, I know what to do. Have a mechuyev shvua ve'ein yochel shava. V'chol mechuyev shvua ve'ein yochel shava mishalem. He is mechuyev shvua against aid echad. But as you yourself explained, that he's not able to swear. The halach is when somebody can't swear, he has to pay. So what's the halacha b'negeya where a choshed can't swear? It goes to the other party. When the other party is also choshed, it bounces back to the original person. So he is mechuyev to swear by moedah b'miktzis. He can't swear. Rav Abba says, naskin de Rav Abba, that's the halacha. Wherever you're supposed to swear, for whatever reason you can't swear, you have to pay. So this is the Rabbi Sainu Shibaretz Yisrael's Rav Abba, the case of Naskin de Rav Abba. Omer Rava, Kavasei de Rav Abba Mistavra. You know, it makes sense, like Rav Abba, that if you can't swear, you have to pay. I'll bring you a riot. The Tony Rabami. We have a pasuk by a shomer who claims an oinish, Shuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneim, that they both should swear between them. So we say Ben Shneim means that they're both here, they're both living. And we medayik v'loy ben yarshim, that this same shvua would not apply to yarshim. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what's the case? Ile medom le monolaba biyadavicha, if one yarish says to the other one, he says, my father had a mana in the hands of your father. In other words, he lent your father a mana and you owe it to me, pay it back. Va'amalei, and the other Yairish said, Chamshin Islay, I know that he owed 50 dinarim, but chamshin leslei, but the 50 he didn't owe. The loan wasn't 100, it wasn't the money, it was only 50, or he paid back 50. He might have been miktzes. So what would the father have to do? He'd have to swear. And yet you're telling me that the Yorish would not have to swear in this case. Why not? He's not saying a suffix. He's saying, I know. My father told me, whatever the case may be. Mali who? Mali avu, asked the Gemara. If the father has to swear, why should the Torah pater the son? Elolav, you have to say it's a different case. The Amalei, Manali Abab Yaravicha. Your father, my father lent your father a mana. Amalei, the other one responded, Chamshin Yadana, 50 dinarim I know, my father told me that he owes your father, but V'chamshin Lo Yadana, the other 50 could be, I'm not sure, I'm not Bori, I can't swear on it, I don't know, but I do admit 50. So this is a case of Moed B'Mixis. He's chayef to swear, but he can't swear because he doesn't know. So now, here comes the raya as we turn to Mem Zayin and Mabez. We're going to bring a raya to Rav Abba. That what? Wherever you can't swear, you have to pay. E Amrat Bishlama Aviv Kihai Gavna Mechayev. If you'll tell me that the halacha is, in such a case, by the father, that the father would have had to swear. And since he can't swear because he himself doesn't know, I don't remember, I only remember 50. I don't remember the other 50, so he couldn't swear. So then he would have to pay, like Naska the Rababa. Rababa said, wherever you can't swear, you have to pay. So if the father would have to pay, and the Ritva says, you know why he has to pay? Because you should remember. Be responsible. Write it down. Make sure you remember what your chayvus are. That's why the Torah said swear. And if you can't swear, pay. So krol amifter gabi yorshim. It's krol amifter gabi yorshim. I understand why I need a pasuk to pater the yorshim. Ah, as the Ritva explains, the yorshim are not mechuyev to know what's going on by their father. So therefore, the Torah didn't give them a shvuah to begin with. If we don't say, but there we understand why the Torah patur the yorshim from the shvuah. Ali amrit aviv ki agavna nami patur. But if you're going to say like Rav and Shmuel, that where you don't know, where for some reason you can't swear, there you're also patur chazra shvuah l'sinai. So kro gabi yorshim. Normally, what do I need a special patur by the yorshim? If the father wouldn't have swear, so why should I make the children swear? So it must be that the father would have to swear, and since he can't swear, he has to pay. Therefore, I need an exclusion by the yorshim. So it's a chayra raya to Rav Abba. Ask the Gemara. This is all based on the pasuk of Shavuos Hashem Tia Ben Shneim v'Rav Ushmuel. Hi, Shavuos Hashem, I could dorshu bei. Rav and Shmuel, who disagree with Rav Abba, and they hold that wherever you can't pay, there, wherever you can't swear, you don't have to pay. Chazra, Shvua, Lesinai. So, Hai Shvus Hashem, I crow, Dar Shabbat. What do they do with the Pasuk of Shvus Hashem, Tia Ben Shneim? Because obviously they don't use it to pater a Yairish, because the father himself, as the Gemara just pointed out, would have been pater. So they don't need a separate exclusion for the Yairishim. What do they use the Pasuk for? Mebor Lelikat Asanya. They need it for the following Brisa. We learned that Shimon Ben Tarfon Oimer, Shvus Hashem, Tia Ben Shneim, Alamein, Shashvua, Chalo Al Shneim. As Tosis brings down over here in Divra Masle Chol Al Shneim, he brings Rashi on Lama Tesam at Beis, that Rashi says, if that person who made the Shua swore false, not only does he get an Einish, but both get an Einish. Because the Shua is Chal on both, as Rashi says, Sheshneim ne non Shabar shalai dik dik limster memoinai biyad neman ubo l'day chil Hashem. You're also considered responsible. You gave your money over to someone you can't trust. He was might have been mixed, and he swore falsely. Really, he owed you the whole thing, and he swore false. So Chil Hashem came out. You shouldn't have given over your money to someone who it could come out a shvua sheker, and therefore you yourself, the malve, is considered that he's responsible, and that's what the pasuk is saying. Shvuas Hashem tia ben shneim. That if one of them has to make a shvua, then it's really if he swears false, the oinish goes to both. Then the Gemara, since it said over a brisa from Shimon ben Tarfon, says some other limudim that Shimon ben Tarfon said. Shimon ben Tarfon Oimer, as hora lo ikav achur noif minay, and as Rashi explains, someone who goes in the footsteps of a person who is mezaneh. And what does it mean? He's an apotropis for him. He gets him women with which he should be able to do averus with the women. So how do we know Minai, and how do we know that the Torah considers him guilty as well? Talmud Loimer, Leisinef, I read it, Leisanef. Do not cause Niyuf. You yourself are not doing the Niyuf. But you're setting up your friend that he should have women with which to do Niyuf. You're considered responsible as well. You're over on Leisanef. Don't cause Niyuf. And then Shimon ben Tarfon says a pshat in a pasuk concerning when how the Jews reacted when the Meraglim came back. The pasuk says, the Tarugna ba'aleichem, the Moshe said, you slandered Eretz Yisrael in your tents. And the problem that Shimon ben Tarfon is grappling with is we know that they did it outside of their tents. They did it before Hestia outside. So what does it mean, in your tents? Shimon ben Tarfon Oimer, that the word v'taragna is an acronym for two words. The first two letters, tar, is tartem, you spied, you sent the meraglim. And then the next letter is gonu, teragnu, gimel nun vav, is for viginisem. You spoke disparaging. Now, not be'olechem in your tents, but you spoke this, when you spoke against Eretz Yisrael, when you spoke that Hashem will not be able to vanquish the goyim that are in Eretz Yisrael, so then you spoke against Hashem who dwells in your midst in the oil of the Mishkan. That's who you spoke against. So the word v'taragnu ba'aleichem means you spied and spoke disparagingly, gnai, miloshin gnai, v'ginisem, on the one who is ba'aleichem, who is v'shachanti b'soicham, who's in the Mishkan, who dwells, the Shechina, amongst you. And then Rav Shimon ben Tarfon said another limud. It says concerning the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. In Dvorim we find, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Pinus Nulachem Uvoyu Har Mori, Val Koshchenev, Barov, Behor, Beshrael, Benegab, Bechoyfe Yom, Eretz Aknani, Valvonin, Ad Hanor Agorol Nahar Peras. The northeastern border of Eretz Yisrael is the Euphrates River, Nahar Peras. The question is, as Rashi explains, why is it called in that Pasuk Nahar Agorol? When we find in the beginning of Bereshis, Nahar Peras, it's listed the fourth of the rivers. So the fourth indicates that it's the smallest of those four rivers that are mentioned that come out of the Eden. So why here is the Pasuk referring to Nahar Peras, Nahar Gadol, when it's in fact the Nahar HaKotan? So Shimon ben Tarfon Oimer, Kerav Legabe Dehina V'Idehin. If you get close to someone who's anointed with oil, you get oil on you also. The oil rubs off, meaning that since you're describing the northeastern border of Eretz Yisrael, you're talking about the greatest country in the world, so the Euphrates River that goes to the northeastern part of Eretz Yisrael, so that also gets the name of Hagadol, the Cheshivas of Eretz Yisrael rubs off on the Euphrates River. And Be'erev Shmuel Tana Eved Melech Kemelech, they put it in a different way, that when you have this servant, the slave of a king, so he's referred to as like the king. He's an extension of the king. So the king is Eretz Yisrael. The Euphrates River is the Eved to the king. So just like the king is Gadol, the Eved is Gadol as well. And then the Gemara goes to the next part of the Mishnah. Chenvani Alpin Kasei. This is a case where a Bala boss had workers, and he tells the storekeeper who keeps a ledger, and he says to him that Pinkasi is the ledger. He says to him, you pay on a weekly basis my workers, and I will, once you tell me that you paid the workers, I will pay you whatever you paid my workers. So what was the case? The case was that the workers come to the Bala boss and say, he didn't pay us. The storekeeper didn't pay us. The storekeeper tells the Bala boss, yes, I did pay them. The halacha is that they both swear to the Bala boss that the workers say we didn't get paid. The chenveni says I did pay them. And they both collect from the Bala boss with a shvua. However, Benana says that one of them we know is going to be swearing false. How could you allow a shvua sheker? So therefore, they both collect without swearing. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Tirech Shvua Zulama. Why do we have the Tirech of the Shvua? So Rashi explains that these words of Rebbe are an enigma. It's not clear what Rebbe meant. Did he mean to say like Benanis, that forget about the Shvua, they should just collect? Or did he, as in fact the Gemara is going to try to say, that it means that we don't go to the balabas, but rather we trust the workers with a shvua, and they're able to collect from the chenveni. Because the chenveni really has a weak case here. If he in fact paid the workers, he should have had edim at the time when he paid that will prove that he paid them. Since he can't produce any edim, so therefore we trust the workers, because everybody knows they worked. They claim they didn't get paid, so with a shvua, they will be believed. So we don't know exactly what Rebbe meant. Amar Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, whatever Rebbe meant, but he certainly didn't mean what he said in the Mishnah. Tanina, you taught us a stam Mishnah, Shneim Nishbom V'Noitim V'Balabayis, that they both swear and they take from the Balabayis. So what's going on here? Did you have Charata from the Mishnah? You learned a stam Mishnah. That's the Halacha. That's why you put it as a stam Mishnah. That the Chenveni with the workers go to the Balabayis, they swear, and both collect. So what are you now saying? Tarek Shuzu Lama. The Gemara wants to know, Kibluminei or like Kibluminei? Did Rebbe accept the question of Rav Chiya? In other words, Rav Chiya is saying, you should have charata from what you said, Tarek Shu Zulama. You should stick with what you said in the Mishnah. Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. The Sanya we learned in Braisa, Rebbe Yomer, Poilin, Nishbanan, Lechenveni. That the Poilin swear to the Chenveni, not to the Balabais. They swear to the store owner. The Im Isa, if you're going to say that Rebbe accepted what Rav Chiya said, then how could it say in the Braisa that Rebbe said that the workers swear to the Chenveni, Labalabais Meboile? Because according to the Mishnah, if the workers would swear to the Chenveni and collect from the Chenveni, what would the Chenveni do? He would go back to the Balabais and say, now I paid them two times. I paid them once. They swore to me, so I had to pay them again. But really, I paid them twice. So since he would go back to the Balabais, then the workers to begin with should have made the shvua to the Balabais, if the Balabais is ultimately going to be the one who's going to have to pay. So obviously, it seems that from the Braisa, that Rebbe had charata from what he wrote in the Mishnah, that the Stam Mishnah, that they both go, the Chenveni and the workers go to the Balabais and swear and take from the Balabais. Because here he says in the Braisa, Nishbor l'Chenveni, that you make the Shvua to the Chenveni. So apparently the Chenveni has to pay to poil them. And we don't go to the Balabais. So l'chayr it's a raya that he did not accept what Rav Chiya asked from the Mishnah. Amar Rava no Raya, could be that he did accept what Rav Chiya asked from the Mishnah. And really, you go to the Balabais, and you swear to the Balabais. What does it mean in the Braisa that you swear to the Chenveni? It means the following, Poi Alim Nishbon LeBalabais B'maymit Chenveni. They swear to the Balabais, but they have to do it in front of the Chenveni. Why? In order that the Poyalim should be embarrassed. If the Poyalim really got paid, they'll be embarrassed in front of the Chenveni, in the face of the Chenveni, in front of the Balabais, to swear, you never paid. They know that the Chenveni did pay them. So to make sure that they're swearing truthfully, we put the Chenveni there. They have to face the Chenveni, and then they swear, but ain't a chanami. To who they are swearing, that's like the Mishnah. So the Rav Chiya had a good question in the Mishnah. Rebbe had charata with what he said, Torah Shvu Zulama, and you do have to swear. How do you swear? Both parties swear to the Balabais. The only thing that Rebbe added in the Braisa was that you have to do it in front of the Chenveni so that they should be embarrassed, and maybe that will stop them from swearing falsely.